Good morning, all. I think this might fit in with what we've been discussing a bit today, that we all have fears and worries in different situations we face in life. But there is a solution to it, and I'd like to address that today. So perhaps this is appropriate. One of the most important pieces of advice God gives us is fear, not I am always with you. He is always with us. Because fear has the ability to make us retreat within ourselves and focus on our weaknesses. It undermines our trust in God. It can magnify our known failings. It is a trap we can easily fall into. So let's have a look at Proverbs 29 and in verse 25. Proverbs 29 and in verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, so we get entrapped in our own fears. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And that's what we must all remember. With God, he's always present, and we're safe within his realm. Fear then, hopefully, only temporarily stifles our trust in God. However, we are not alone in this apparent deficiency. What we can consider, as great people of God, suffered occasionally from spiritual paralyzing fear that momentarily betrayed their trust in him. Those who were given positions of leadership in fulfilling elements of God's plan for mankind. When we think of the patriarch Abraham, we marvel at his obedient response to God's calling, which led him to leave his comfort zone and allowing himself to be led into a foreign land. We remember his humility in allowing his cousin Lot to choose the land he would like to settle in. We remember his bravery in rescuing Lot, who was taken into captivity by warring kings. But there came a time when Abraham journeyed to Kadesh and then settled in Gerar that a particular fear hampered his progress. Apparently, Sarah was a very beautiful woman, and he was concerned that Abimelech, king of Gerar, would perhaps endanger his life and take Sarah from him. So he passed off Sarah as his sister. As we know, God prevented this happening by warning Abimelech of his error. We can gain encouragement from God's response to Abraham's moment of weakness by reading verse 7 of Genesis 20. Verse 7 of Genesis 20. Talking to Abimelech, he says, "Now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, you shall surely die, you and all of yours." Even in times of weakness, when fear prevents us from fully trusting in God, in whatever trouble we find ourselves confronting, God never deserts us and still will hear our prayers, and we can regain strength from him. Just let us remind ourselves of what God said to Abraham as he was then. In verse 1 and in chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." And that applies to us equally, who have belief and faith and trust in God, even in our moments of weakness. It's also interesting to note that God says of Abraham in verse 7 of Genesis 20, "He will pray for you and you shall live." God knows our hearts and allows for our occasional deficiencies, but still hears our prayers for others. As Jody Karch told us recently, our prayers do not bounce off the ceiling because his presence is everywhere, but he answers us according to his will. We can study the example of Moses when he was addressed by God from the burning bush. This was a face-to-face confrontation in the desert regions. Moses, as we know, was a prince of Egypt. He was formerly a conqueror in battle for Pharaoh. But now, as God explained, what he needed Moses to do, fear gripped him, and he tried to excuse himself from the task ahead of him. He reasoned negatively with God, as we can all tend to do when we feel pressured. He had to learn to fear, not, "I am always with you." Once he had gripped the nettle or taken up the gauntlet, trusting in God, he was then encouraged, the Israelites, not to fear. Let's read that in Genesis 20 and in verse 19 and 20. Genesis 20 and verses 19 and 20. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." They needed to have a healthy respect and fear for God, but not fear what man could do, because God was with them. Joshua then followed in the footsteps of Moses. After the death of Moses, the leadership of Israel was allocated to God by Joshua. We can read that in the book of Joshua in verses 1 to 3. I haven't put much on behind that voice, but... Yes, in one of the chapters of Joshua, and I'm not sure, I haven't recorded what it was, but anyway, we carry on. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to you, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses." Now comes the admonition in verse 6. "Be strong and of a good courage, for to this people you should divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. In other words, fear not, I am with you. Be courageous and move on." So Joshua led the people courageously to conquer the lands God gave them, and he continually exhorted them to trust God. Let's confirm that in Joshua 28 and in verses 6 and 8. Joshua 28 and in verses 6 to 8. "But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day." In other words, do not let your inner fear stifle your relationship with God. Trust him even if the hurdles ahead seem insurmountable. The fear not theme runs throughout the Bible. Once fear enters our minds, we begin to worry, and that leads to anxiety, which can lead to depression. Jesus was well aware of this human tendency, as we can read in Luke 12 and in verses 22 to 32. Luke 12, verses 22 to 32. Verse 22, "And he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, not about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow or reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" Reminding us that we are the only creatures of physical creation that are made in God's image. We don't evolve from monkeys, as some say. "And which of you, by worry, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith?" Reminding us to exercise the faith God gives us through his Holy Spirit. Most of the apostles of Jesus Christ were dedicated to follow him, supposedly fearlessly, until a saturation arose that tested their mettle. Jesus asked the question of them, "Who do people say that I am?" And then followed up with, "Who do you say that I am?" Let us read that in Matthew 16 and in verses 15 to 17. Matthew 16 and verses 15 to 17. "He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Even though Peter appeared to understand who Jesus was, fear sometimes directed him off course, as it did all of the disciples. This is verified when all the disciples deserted him when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and stated in Matthew 26 and in verse 56. Matthew 26 and in verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Yes, they were all fearful, but perhaps we could argue that this was before the Holy Spirit came down and dwelt in them at Pentecost. But as we know, that is not so. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. It does not force us to comply. We still find ourselves sometimes out of fear doing those things that we don't normally do and what we deep down know we shouldn't do. Let's have a look now at an example of how fear affects the behaviour of a leading apostle. Please turn to Galatians chapter 2 and in verses 11 to 13. Chapter 2 and verses 11 to 13. But when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For certain men came from James, saying he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those of the circumcision. That's where fear comes in again. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. So sometimes our fears expressed can have a knock-on effect which may harm others. So in summary, let's return to the proverb we read initially in Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Our God knows us and understands us. He even knew us before we were born. We were born with an eternal awareness, but plagued with an inherent weakness due to the initial fall. Fear being perhaps the most destructive to growth. We have a natural fear built into our psyche to protect us, but an exaggerated fear spawned by Satan, in which he will get us to doubt God and his word. That is why we need to focus on the second part of verse 25. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. In every situation we face, we've always got the Lord with us, so we can trust him in every situation. But it does guarantee we will be safe in the care of the Lord. Have belief, faith, and trust in him. Remember, all things work together for the good of those that love God. Thank you.